in the faith with a great knowledge. Have people who have the ability, the talent to bring specials, and they don't do it. Someone besides those who commonly bring those specials could bring the specials if they just would. Encourage you to, for the honor and glory of the Lord. Acts, the first chapter, verse number 11, if you'd like to turn your Bibles. We have a lot of things going on in this world. We have Bible being fulfilled before our very eyes. And this thing with Israel and all these other countries and all the turmoil and things are going on in this world, it simply should tell us this: Jesus is coming very soon. He's coming very soon. And so I want to speak to you this morning on Jesus coming again. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, "Which also said ye men, the angels of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus ascended up before their very eyes. He's coming again. And I'm persuaded his coming again is very soon. Look at John, the 14th chapter, and verse number 3. John chapter 14 and verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," of course he's speaking to his church, his espoused bride. He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said, "I will come again." He's coming personally as he went away, personally. Then in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, "And to wit, for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Jesus is coming. He came from heaven the first time. He accomplished those things which the Father sent him to do. He ascended up and is on the right hand of the Father, but one day he is coming back. He will return again as he went. He left suddenly and will return suddenly. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 7. Matthew 24th chapter and verse number 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." He left suddenly. He will come again also. Verse 27 of the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Listen, the time, the conditions of this world, the things that are going on are prevalent, and we can see that we're living in a time when it's not just isolated, but it's the entire world that is involved and engulfed. Did you know that in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, that it talks about the coming of the Antichrist, the horse rider, and he comes bringing peace? What do we got now? We got a world at war, whether we like it or not, whether we like to face it or not. We have turmoil on every hand for every nation, and we have Israel compassed by every nation. And we see that the conditions that Jesus said would be on the earth when he comes, And this condition is prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. This thing is not going to stop, and it's not going to be over. There's not going to be peace until the Antichrist comes back. He comes with a bow to make a covenant. He comes to make peace on the earth. And he's going to come, and he's going to make peace with Israel and these nations. He's going to bring peace, and then he's going to establish the covenant once again, the old covenant, the law covenant with the children of Israel. Thing of it is, it's going to be his covenant and not the one that God established with the children of Israel. This is Satan's Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the world leader, the world ruler that is going to take over this world. And then God is going to pour his wrath out on the earth during this tribulation period. He left suddenly, he's going to return suddenly. He left in a physical body, visible, and so shall he come in like manner as they had seen him go. His coming is not a sort of spiritual, indefinite, indescribable something, but it's going to be to where that they will see him and know him when he comes. He'll be as he was when he left this earth. He left in a glorified body. He'll return in a glorified body. The time of his coming, no man knows. The Bible's clear. Effort to figure out exactly when he was going to come. There's been dates set time and time again, and he didn't show up. He's not coming on man's schedule. He's coming on God's schedule when he's ready. The Lord said it would be when the people were not looking for it to come to pass. Look at Mark 13 and verse number 32. Mark 13 and verse number 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. No man knows the day or the hour when he comes. Look at Matthew 24 and verse number 44. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'll guarantee you this world's not looking for the coming of the Lord. I'll guarantee you that most of God's people aren't looking for the coming of the Lord. I'll guarantee you that most of the time you and I aren't looking for the coming of the Lord, because we're so caught up with the turmoil and the things that are going on and the changes that are taking about. We're so occupied with the things in this life. And every one of us got one of those little things we carry around, poke and do this and do that. And we type out a letter instead of typing it out on a typewriter and a piece of paper and putting it in the mail, while we're typing it out and sending it by whatever means that it goes this day and time. Everybody's occupied and caught up and too busy to think about the coming of the Lord. Now you think about it. He's coming, and it's going to be a surprise probably to even all of God's people. He's coming, and he's going to come suddenly. Therefore, be ye also ready. Who's he talking to? He's talking about, or to his people, to his church. He's talking about, or talking to them about the second coming. And he says to be ready, for in such an hour, ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The uncertainty of the time should make us watchful. His friends should look for him with pleasure and desire. And those who rebel against him should look for his coming in dread and in horror, because nothing good is going to come during this time of trouble on the earth. Look at Mark 13 and verse number 35. Mark chapter 13 and verse number 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Listen, he admonishes us to watch because it's not going to be a happy day for those who wind up going into the tribulation period. His coming will find the majority unprepared to meet him. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse number 37. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now listen to how the days of Noah were and see if it's not the day in which we live. For as in the days that were before the flood, everyone was eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And man, I look at these football stadiums and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all the people that are packed in, and I see the strings of traffic. Brother Mike said he got caught in it. I got caught in it coming home from the chiropractor yesterday. And, it's amazing. And the first thought come to me, they're going to worship. That's their worship. I mean, they're given over to it. And how sad. We can't even get 100 people together to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and look at the great number out there. And you think about it. Listen, I'm persuaded the Lord is not happy. And I'll tell you what, there's a wrath going to be poured out during this 7-year tribulation time when the Antichrist rules, Satan's Christ, the havoc he's going to cause, and then the Lord is going to pour out his wrath at the end. It's not going to be a pleasant thing for those, especially those without Jesus. And so we see that most people are not going to be prepared. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two. Now this woman here is in italicized words. It was added. Here's how it reads in the original. Two shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He would have watched and would not have suffered the loss and the misery and suffering that he did. His coming shall result in upsetting the affairs of the world. The disruption of worldly affairs shall be sudden and terrible. 24th chapter, book of Matthew, beginning with verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Listen, when he comes, the pilot in a plane full of people is going to be flying. If he's saved, he's going out of there. The plane has no pilot. And there's, look at the destruction. Truck drivers and bus drivers and auto mill drivers, they're going to go out of here suddenly. And look at the crash and the destruction and the death that's going to take place just with that. Oh, we just can't fathom that. I mean, after all, listen. This is reality. This is reality. One is taken, the other left. One's grinding at the mill, one's taken, two's grinding at the mill, one's taken, the other left. The saved are taken. Those that are lost are left behind. How many of them are going to die and go to hell in this destruction that's going to come upon the earth? This is reality. You can't just suddenly take people out of here without causing this kind of death and destruction. Now, he said, watch. That means we need to be busy preparing for this coming. Our busyness as members of a New Testament church are reaching out to others and preparing them for this occasion. And this occasion is close. It's upon us. I'm persuaded that most people that are here, it's going to happen in their lifetime, especially the younger generation. It's going to happen. And we need to prepare by helping others to do so, because what they're going to suffer, it's going to begin with this destruction. And then this man, Satan's Christ, the Antichrist, is going to come. He's going to have the answer. He's going to have the solutions. He's going to make it, smooth it over. But it's never going to be, because they'll be without the Lord. Look at Luke, the 17th chapter, and begin with verse number 34. Luke 17. And verse number 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. The Lord's people will be caught up in the air, and that accounts for the separations that we're just looking at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. First, the dead in Christ shall rise, the coming of Jesus in the clouds of the air, and then those that are alive remain shall be caught up in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Their bodies will be changed. They'll receive their glorified bodies and will be taken up from this earth. It's going to leave a lot of empty places. It's going to leave a lot of destruction and death and dying, a lot of turmoil. The mother and babe will be caught up. The husband left. The engineer will be caught up. The fireman left. The parents will be caught up and the children left. All the saved shall be caught up. The unsaved will be left behind. The saved will go. The unsaved will be left. Did you know the chances? Now we look at the tribulation. There will be people saved during the tribulation, yes. But look at all the people who are going to die. Unprepared. Well, how can they be prepared? I'll tell you what. By you and I preaching the gospel to them, by you and I witnessing to them. And if they don't get saved, then when this destruction comes, maybe then they'll instantly call upon the Lord and trust him as their Savior. It'll come to a reality. We need to be busy, because that's a part of waiting. That's a part of preparing. The saved will be caught up. Unsaved left behind. And there'll be a time of rewarding for those of the Lord's people. Look at Revelation 22, verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. A joyous occasion, a wonderful time. But listen, the great joy and the wonderful time may not be immediately. It won't be immediately, Because while the tribulation period is going on this earth and the lost are left behind and it's all people on the earth are lost, unsaved, all the saved are taken out all over the world. What's going to take place? The judgment seat of Christ. God's people are going to be judged. Not whether or not they go to heaven, they're already in heaven. But they're going to be judged as the rewards that they're going to receive or the loss of. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Now remember, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ without works. But remember, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The good works come after that we're saved. This judgment is for those that are saved, and they're either going to be rewarded, or verse 15, "If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So the judgment seat of Christ takes place, and as the tribulation is going on this earth. And in this turmoil, certainly there will be people who will be saved during that time, but the vast majority will not. It'll be one of confusion and waiting for those that are unsaved. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. Daniel 12 and 1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." That's that 7-year tribulation at the end of the church age, just prior to the beginning of the millennial reign or the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. "There shall be a time of trouble, such as was, or such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found, every one that shall be found written in the book." Saved are taken out. The lost are left behind to face this trouble like there never has been or ever shall be upon the earth. You talk about the Dust Bowl situation in our country. You talk about all the catastrophes in our country. They won't hold a candle. There will be a third part of the population of the world that will be killed all at one time. A third part. We think 500 or 600 people and a airplane crash or something like that is horrible. We think that the thousands that were killed when the towers were hit was horrible. But you think a third of the population of the world being destroyed at the same time? Brother, that's trouble. That's tribulation. You say, "Well, that's horrible. God, a loving God wouldn't do that." God's not doing it. It's man's sin that brings it about. It's Satan and sin, not God. I wish that people who claim to be God's people would quit blaming him for everything. These things are coming because of man's sin. These things are coming because of the sin of commission. These things are coming because of the sin of omission by God's people. What is this omission? It's failing to do what God has told them to do. He says, watch. How do we watch? How do we prepare? We reach out to others and strive to bring them to Jesus Christ, because you see, his heart is grieved knowing what's coming upon these people. He wants to see them come in repentance and faith and be saved. But you know, they can't be saved without the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That Ethiopian eunuch, he wanted to be saved. He desired to be saved. He was reading the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand it. And God sent his messenger, and he was saved. People aren't going to be saved if we don't preach the gospel to them, brethren. And we need to be doing it, preparing and helping them. How wonderful it would be if we preached the gospel to somebody who went into the tribulation period. They didn't accept the Lord when we preached it to them, but they heard, they have it in their mind, and they went into the tribulation period, and then they repented of their sins and by faith trusted Christ as their Savior after they were in the tribulation. That's a distinct possibility. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Begin with verse number 19. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Talking about the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God is poured out. Go over and read it. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Middle of the tribulation period, the nation of Israel is going to realize that they're following the wrong man. They're following this Antichrist. He's established the law covenant with them. And then there'll be a statue, Revelation 13 chapter, that they'll set up on the Temple Mount and demand they worship it. And then they'll know he's not their Messiah, because their Messiah would not go against or break the law. And as a nation, Romans 11th chapter, they'll be saved. They'll believe Isaiah 53. They'll believe where the eunuch was reading about Jesus. Today they reject it. Today they won't admit that it's even in their Bible. But they'll come to the Lord, and it's prophesied here in the scripture. Look at Revelation 6, beginning with verse number 12. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. And I believe in the ninth chapter of Revelation, they'll seek death and won't be able to find it. They'll try to kill themselves, but they won't succeed. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The great day of the wrath of God, the great day that Jesus will pour his wrath out upon the earth. And we just read the prophecy of it. Jesus is coming. I believe because of the situation, the condition of the world, according to the scripture, that his coming is very soon. We need to prepare. We need to get ready. The way to do it is to reach out to those that are lost and implant the gospel of Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their minds. The time to hold back and the time to be bashful is no more. We need to stand up and we need to tell them about Jesus. They don't want to hear it. Many of them will say, well, I don't believe that way. We even have missionary Baptists that make that cry. I don't believe the way you guys believe. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. It doesn't change the facts of the Word of God. It is true. And bless your heart, we ought to present that truth, because you see, that's the same truth that Jesus said would make you free. And if you were made free, you'd be free indeed. Signs are all around us. We need to wake up. We need to see. I just touched the hem of the garment in the teaching of the time of the tribulation period, the teaching of the coming of Jesus Christ. There's much, much more. We need to search and we need to see and we need to realize and understand. Listen, he's painted the picture of it right here, and we're seeing the picture painted every day. For a long time, I didn't know who those from the north were coming down. Now I know. It's Turkey. Turkey was with the Western powers. Now, where are they? Certainly not where they were. I'll tell you what, brother, Jesus is coming. Every nation that Ezekiel 38 and other passages that convey that, those nations are aligned together against Israel. And those that would not be together with Israel are also set forth. And they are together. Yeah. We need to understand what time period we're in. And our time's short, brethren. Mine may be shorter than most of the rest of you, but your time is not that long, because we're living in the time the Bible says Jesus is going to come. These conditions prevail. He's going to come. When? When we think not. Aren't we in that day? Yeah. Most people don't think he's coming. I mean, I've heard it all my life. I thought he was coming before my kids went to school. I thought he was coming before they graduate from school. I thought he was coming before they'd marry and have kids. I thought he'd come before I had great-grandkids, and here they are. But that don't amount to anything. Doesn't mean that he's not coming. It just simply means the condition of this world has not been such in my lifetime, but was quickly coming to it. But now, in your lifetime, in our lifetime, the conditions prevail exactly as the Bible said they would. And that's why I'm convinced his coming is very soon. Not because of what I think or how I feel, because of what it says here. And this is true. Because you see, this same told me, if I would humble myself before God, acknowledge being a sinner, repent of my sins, turn with all of my heart from my sin, and put my faith and trust in Jesus, he'd change my life. He did. That's the greatest evidence to me. This is the Word of God. This is true, and we can depend on it. Because I depended on what the Word of God said to me, and you that are saved, you did the same thing. Depended on what God's Word said about being saved, and we put it into practice and we're saved. That was true, what he said about it. That proves it. Listen, what he said about the coming of Jesus is true. Because the same place we got that information that got us saved, The information of Jesus is coming is here. His admonition is watch. His admonition is be ready, because he is coming soon. Let's stand. You that are lost, you that don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to understand and realize that Jesus, who is the God of creation, who is the God who created you in your mother's womb, you got to realize that you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust in what he did for you. He came as a man, and as a man he suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again. He died because of your sin and mine. He was buried and rose again for your justification and mine. If you'll put your faith and trust in it, and you'll cry out to him in prayer, he's promised to save your soul. I hope you'll do that before this day is through. What shall we sing?